And man, the stories, oh gosh, dude. Like my heart just absolutely broke, but also rejoiced like the whole rest of the week, and it's still going. So I think that's part of me like maturing, discovering like what kind of pastor I want to be.
Welcome to the Eyes on Jesus podcast with Drew and Tim, two pastors discussing practical details about life, leadership, parenting, and being more centered around Jesus first. The goal of this show is to help you keep your eyes on Jesus through the busyness of life and clutter of your schedules. Now, join us for the conversation.
Hey, welcome to the Eyes on Jesus podcast with Drew and Tim. We're here with you. Another fresh week, fresh vision, fresh fire. How many other things can we put in front of fresh?
I don't know. It's familiar, but it's fresh. I like it.
Yeah. Well, Drew and I were talking for like a half an hour before the episode. We just hit record. We could have hit record like a half an hour ago because we were just
We had great stuff. It was great content.
Stuff about our church. Stuff about who knows. But and that's kind of how we started this podcast. Is what if we just hit record and people just listen in because we just can talk. I guess so.
Yeah, I feel like when me and you talk, like we just I feel like we bring good things out in each other. I think that's what makes this like podcast fun and also helpful. But one of the things that we dove into, like we were just talking about, I mean, we talked about everything. We did a great interview before this podcast. And then on top of that, there's a lot of things going on in the ministry world that we were kind of diving into. And we were like, man, and we've got some great stories from our church. We've got some great stories when it comes to what God is doing in our life right now. And so maybe we should just, instead of scripting something out, maybe we should share some of that. And maybe that would bless our listeners, and maybe they would find some comfort in knowing that we're in process too, and also find some comfort in knowing that we're still trying to ask ourselves what God has for us in the future. So that being said, you mentioned that you're preaching this Sunday at your church. Yeah. I think that's awesome. And I'll try to tune into that after I get done with my Sunday. I always love seeing you speak. And I'm sure there will be some great reels that come from it because you always have great reels in your sermons. But I'm curious, like, tell me about that process. Tell me about what you're planning to speak about, and then what is God teaching you through that?
Yeah. So we're in a series now called From Creation to Christ, and it's about seeing Jesus in the Old Testament and what points to him through typology and, you know, examples and symbolism and examples from Old Testament patriarchs and kind of what they went through. You know, things like, you know, the snake in the desert on the cross, lifted up, you know, the water from the rock, manna from heaven, Abraham and Isaac, the sacrifice, right? All these examples and stuff. And it's funny because our senior pastor, Nathan, like he's 6 weeks in and we're not even through Genesis yet. So there's a lot of content. And we thought this series would bring us up to Easter and we're going to go way past Easter.
That's awesome.
And so anyway, that part's cool. And so I was, you know, covering, you know, this will already be done by the time you hear this, but March 17th, it was like, all right, that's going to be my weekend. And so I knew this back in February. I knew what series we're in. And it's like, okay, what example from the Old Testament should I pick from? Because there's so many to choose from. And so I was wrestling from it, thinking about all those. But I also went to God and I was like, you know, I'd like something fresh. I'd like something that is not like something that you would just first think of as a typology to Jesus. And so I think it was the next day I was in the gym. I was literally, I'm not joking, I was doing sit-ups. And as I did with sit-up, I'm like, Uriah is a typology of Jesus.
I love it. And then
I finished my workout. I'm like, what was that about? Like, is that even a thing? Is that true? And so I ChatGPT it. Was Uzziah a typology of Jesus? And I did Uzziah the king and not Uriah from David and Bathsheba, right?
Yeah.
And then ChatGPT is like, no, Uzziah is no typology associated with Jesus. And I was like, I misspelled it. So what about Uriah? And sure enough, I'm not the first person to think of it, but it's also something I've never heard.
Wow.
And the cool part of looking at it, you know, we know the story of David and Bathsheba gets preached all the time, but thinking of Uriah, who was betrayed, who was David's mighty man, who was, you know, lived right next to David, which is why he could walk out and see Bathsheba bathing. Now, here's a few things that's cool about this story, apart from the usual, and I'm going to talk about lust and sexual sin too, but the cool part about Uriah specifically is the themes of this story, sin, loyalty, betrayal, sacrifice, and redemption.
Love it.
Sound like Jesus?
I mean, that's unreal.
Sin, loyalty, betrayal, sacrifice, and redemption. And the cool part about Uriah too is when you look at this story is that, you know, he was betrayed. It was the betrayal, and the title of my message is Sin Always Escalates, which I think is a Matt Chandler quote, but sin always escalates. When you look at the sin of David and how he could have stopped it after the first infraction of adultery, which was a big thing, but he could have repented and turned from it and all that. But what led to it after the adultery was betrayal and murder and the death of his child and his own children who did crazy things after this, right? With Absalom and Tamar and things like that. And if sin is not stopped, it always escalates. It's like a snowball rolling down a hill. You have to stop it when it's small. Otherwise, it blows up into a big thing. And Bathsheba also, I didn't realize, was also the daughter of Eliam, who was a mighty man, and the granddaughter mm-hmm. of Ahithophel, however you say that, who was also one of David's mighty men. So she was in the mix of all of David's mighty men with Uriah, and that makes the betrayal so much more fierce and wow. so much more painful that David would do this. But we know the redemption from the story of, obviously, you know, in Matthew, it actually says in the genealogy, it says Solomon, mm-hmm. whose mother was the wife of Uriah. So even in Matthew, it gives Uriah credit for being a right. part of the story of Jesus.
Yeah.
Which awesome. Is just a message of hope. If you think your story is messed up and can't be redeemed, you're wrong, because that's God's in the process of redeeming stories. And the other cool
that's
thing
really
I didn't
cool.
realize is that Bathsheba's name means oath of the promise. And Uriah's name means the light of God. Now, Uriah's name, the light of God, Jesus is the light of the world. And Uriah is a Hittite who is also a Gentile. And through Jesus, Gentiles can come into this light.
That's really cool.
And Bathsheba, cool. meaning the oath of the promise, is symbolism for Israel, who God made an oath to Israel that I will keep my promise, even if you're adulterous.
Right.
And we see that through Israel, through Isaiah wow. and Jeremiah, that the adultery of Israel was symbolism through Bathsheba, who through no fault of her own in her story, right, David took advantage of her, but right. it was still symbolism of her representing Israel, an adulterous people, that God's like, I will still make my oath to you, even though you're adulterous. And
wow.
we see that through Jesus coming through the line of Bathsheba. Bam, I'm excited to preach this.
That's unbelievable. You should be excited to preach that. I'm excited to hear it. That's amazing. That's really, really cool. That sounds like you did a lot of digging, man.
Yeah,
really.
It's so cool. You know, this is just when you start, you know, the surface layer of a story in the Bible, and there's so much under it if you start digging.
Right, right. Wow. That's really something. And now, is that normally how your sermons will come together?
Like, doing ab workouts? No.
Doing ab workouts? Is that what is it that Furtick said on his podcast this past week? Find ways when your body is occupied, your mind can be free.
Mm.
So you're doing ab workouts so your body's occupied and it frees your mind to go, that's it.
That's it.
That's awesome.
No, but the gym is a good time. And I was thinking about this the other day. Is like, I listen to podcasts. I created my own playlist. It's called Fire Temple Workout.
Okay.
I can't think of a better name. I was like, how can I call it a Christian workout music? Because there's one called Beast Mode that. Christian, which I was listening to.
I've heard that one, and it's just full of Lecrae.
I wasn't digging it after a while. Yeah. So I'm like, I'm going to make my own with music I like that I can jam to in the gym. But anyway, it is a good place and a headspace to be in where you're just kind of like sweating it out.
Uh-huh. You
may or may not be thinking of anything that deep, but still, it's almost like, I mean, you go to the gym more than I do.
Oh, I'm 100%,
right?
It is. And I have different days that I go to the gym for different purposes mentally. A lot of times on like Mondays, it's just to absolutely go in there and fight. And so it's like music. I'm not listening to any podcasts. My phone's on Do Not Disturb. I'm rolling. Mm-hmm. Tuesdays, I've got some phone calls that I make right when I'm going to the gym. So I usually just try to double down, get some work done. So that's where there's not a lot going on. But Wednesdays, Fridays, and Sunday mornings, I listen to like one of two things. Either one, I listen to no music and I just wear my headphones to cancel out sound, or I'll listen to like acoustic worship music, okay, which is not very driving at all, yeah, but it puts me in this like, it puts my body in this place of like, I have to fight through this, that I don't have momentum. And just me, I'm the only one creating my momentum right now. And then my brain in that moment is in a very like worshipful state. And it's in those moments that I have thoughts like you had, where it's just like, oh, you know what I could do? Yeah. So that's really cool.
You got to crank out messages every Sunday. And I totally respect that. That's something that Oof. Is not my gifting, even though I can preach. And I like to preach once every 3 months. And it's also something I've never been taxed to do. I'm sure I could do it if I needed to, but.
You could totally do it.
How does that work to get fresh revelation for you? Do you have a day of the week when you, all right, this is my day to like focus on the message, or how does your week flow?
So here's what I've learned is that I think it's more important to have a mental flow than it is to have a flow during the week of actionable items. So I've heard some people that are absolute machines and they're like, on Mondays, it's my day to do this. On Tuesdays, it's my day to do this. On Wednesdays, it's my day to do this. That's really cool. I don't have the ability to do that for a couple reasons. Number one, I have two kids. I have a 6-year-old and a 3-year-old, and it doesn't really matter what you plan. If one of them has a fever, now they're not going to school. Right. Or like this past 2 weeks, they're on spring break, or at least one of them is. Next week, the other one's on spring break. So there's 3 weeks in a row. My wife works. My wife's not a stay-at-home mom. So I don't have the ability to say every week it's going to look the same. What I do have the ability to do is control the way my mind processes the week. And so instead of trying to be in what I call a rhythm, I try to be in a flow. So while my body might be out of rhythm some weeks, my mind is always in a flow. So for me, inspiration can come in a lot of different moments. It often comes when my body is occupied. Gym, shower, driving. Anytime my body is doing something. And then, of course, prayer, when I'm just like still. I don't get a lot of inspiration really in my quiet time. That's where I get just like stories, right? That's where I get personal stories. That's where I fill up on what God's teaching me. But usually my inspiration is in prayer, driving, shower, gym. And then after that, just dwelling on that thought and then finding time during the week to devote. I have a direction right now that I know I'm headed from now until almost the end of the year. But having a direction and having words on paper are very different. Right. And I'd love to say, I always imagined that if I was a lead pastor one day, I would be planned out so far and I'd write sermons the week after the week after the week. And I'd be 3 weeks ahead, 6 weeks ahead, 6 months ahead. I think there'll be a day where that happens. I think that'll come. But right now, I'm the only full-time staff member at our church. We're in a season of tremendous growth. We're in a season where we're changing our brand. We're changing our name. We're changing our vision. We're changing our website. Oh, yeah, it's Easter. We're doing worship center upgrades. With all that going on and still having elders meetings and still connecting with people, praying for people, starting to have events because our church is growing and community matters, you're not going to be like, sorry, but if you're a pastor that's like, oh no, and I have 6 months of sermons ready to go. Well, then you don't have two small kids and a wife who works. Like I can just guarantee you that I'd put $1 million on it. So,
that's all you do. Like if that's what some people, that's
right,
that's what they do.
That's, you have a whole, all you do. You. Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Like
totally.
I had friends on Facebook that posted in December, like my whole year is planned for sermons. And I'm like, good for you, man.
Good, dude.
Good for
good.
You.
I think that's awesome. And I think it's awesome to have a direction and yeah. good for you guys. We're just not there yet. And honestly, I kind of enjoy it because I will say one of the things that breeds is it breeds innovation. I have a lot of people ask me, you know, I'm a new pastor. I've been a lead in needing to preach every single Sunday for 2 years now. That's it, just 2 years. And I have people ask me all the time, what's your style? Like, what's your style? I'm like, I don't have one. I'm me. And I don't know if that's a style. I don't think it is. I hope it doesn't turn into a trend. But like, I'm me. So there's some Sundays where I'm like, you know what? There'd be three good points that go along with this, and they all start with P. Here we go. Here are my 3 points, my three principles, right? You know how we do. And mm-hmm. and here they all are, right? And so it's going to be promise, and it's going to be purpose, and it's going to be process, or it's going to be promise, and it's going to be provision, and it's going to be, you know, whatever. So there's some Sundays that are very much like that. There's other Sundays where I'm like, I'm just going to tell you what God's kind of revealed to me. And there's no, like, there's not like 3 points. There's just 1 point at the end. There's other times that it's a very gospel centered for people to make that decision for Christ at the end. And then there's other times where it's 40 minutes and other times it's 20 minutes. And other times it's like this past weekend, we had this really cool thing happened this past weekend. I could not for the life of me figure out how I wanted to end my message. I mean, this is one of the things of every week being, you know, I'm going to write a sermon. I got to like Tuesday. I was like, I know what I'm going to say. I know what I'm going to preach on. I know the direction I'm going to head. It's going to be short. My kids are on spring break. It's going to be like a 20-minute message. But how are we going to end? Maybe we could go into a song. Maybe we could go into this. Maybe we go into that. And then like Thursday, I was like, no, I got it. Now I know how I'm going to finish it. Then Saturday, I was like, no, not that way. I'm going to do it a different way. God's shown me a different way on Saturday. No lie, Sunday morning, I circled up with our worship team to pray before the first service. We're standing in a circle. We're holding hands. We're all praying. And I'm like, hey, how can I pray? Usually we just pray. I'm like, how can we pray for each of you? We paused. And it was in that moment that I realized, man, this dude just mentioned something about cancer. She just mentioned something about how busy her life is. He just mentioned something about how he's wearing thin. He just mentioned that his brother is dying. She just mentioned that. I'm like, man, there's so much weight. So we prayed, and I walked into the worship center, and literally 1 minute into the service, I was like, now I know how I'm going to end my message. And we ended up having a time where we invited people up front to be prayed over for different reasons, to accept Christ, of course, to just be prayed over, just to have a prayer request, but also for repentance. And we talked about how in order to have revival, there has to be repentance. Yeah, and absolutely. And you've heard that before, on a podcast we listened to recently. And in that, we heard so many stories of people that are just hurting, man. Mm-hmm. And it healed me so much, not only to see that God could take obedience of me just being like, all right, I'm willing to shift. I'm willing to do that. And our elders are willing to do that. And our worship team is willing to do that because we just want Jesus. Yeah. But then to see people respond. And then for me, it was a great reminder to me in this season where there's so much change and there's so much we're running after with new logos and new this and new that. There's a lot of new going on, which is great. Mm-hmm. But it was a great reminder to me to remember, like, hey, while you're running after all these things, and these are good things, and we're really excited about all these things, at the very core, at the very foundation, like, this connection, this is where it's at.
Yeah.
It's praying over people. It's hearing people's burdens. It's connecting with them and empathizing with them in those moments. And man, the stories, oh, gosh, dude. Like, my heart just absolutely broke, but also rejoiced, like the whole rest of the week, and it's still going.
Yeah.
And so I think that's part of me like maturing. I think it's part of me discovering like what kind of pastor I want to be, what kind of church we want to be, and what we want to offer to the community. And so it's really exciting. I think God's really growing me and having me contemplate some things. And the other thing, this past Sunday, we talked about repentance. Like, I started. I was like, I believe the leader goes first. And so I was like, let me just repent in front of you. Yeah. And I just shared, not like, you know, golly, when a pastor stands on stage and says he's going to repent, you never know what could pop up. Yeah. It wasn't anything like major or life-changing or anything, because thankfully I don't have anything like that to share. But it was just me recognizing that God has me in a really special season, and I want to make sure for me that I'm answering the call. And then in that, I want to make sure that you know, I'm doing everything I can as a leader of the church to lead people. And I just kind of expressed some ways that I saw myself lacking, some ways that I was kind of mailing it in, and that I want to do better as your leader. Yeah. I want to do better. And I think people like really connected with that.
Yeah.
And it was certainly hard to say, like, I got emotional and I told everybody, I wrote it out because I thought I would just share it. But as soon as you start saying it out loud, you're like, oh man, I think I'm going to cry. Because in a way, it's just, it's life.
Yeah.
So I just admitted, hey, life's hard. It's not as hard as other people. I mean, if we all wrote it down, none of us really have it that bad. But I was like, but it's hard in its own ways. And I'm struggling and I'm trying to figure it out. I know you are too. I've shared my side. I'd love to hear yours.
Yeah.
And amazing. Just amazing, amazing stuff. So yeah,
that's
really
thing, man. It's like
really great.
You don't wait until it's this big thing to repent. Like, repent in those small things.
Right.
You stop the sin in its tracks. Like I said, it won't escalate to this big thing. And then all of a sudden it's this way more drama than you intended. And so that's the importance of repenting. I mean,
totally.
As much as we want to say about the Catholics, they got something right as far as confession. Like, that's something they put as part of their, and then as Protestants, like, ah, I confessed it at salvation. I don't need to anymore. And it's like, no, you do. You right. do. And so,
yeah,
I think there's something to be said for accountability, vulnerability, transparency, all those buzzwords that we know are important, but we don't act out in practice. And, you know, I've talked about response time at our church and how we do it a little differently. And
yep.
I think it's really, you know, when I prepare a sermon, I can do it a month or two in advance. And response time, like, I am usually Saturday night is when I get something from God. And I purposely do it that way. I don't write it out. I don't plan it out. I do a majority of the response times. And so I want to be Holy Spirit led in that moment of response. And what happens from that is, a lot of times it's either something that happens Sunday morning or something that as I walk up, I have nothing, but then I allow the Holy Spirit to speak to me. Mm-hmm. And this past week, you know, I did a response for, you know, if you have a major life decision ahead of you, right? Something that you have to pray for. And I had everyone stand up and then people around them pray. So it wasn't coming up front to the altar,
wow,
which is
love
intimidating
that.
For a lot of people.
Sure.
And man, I just heard people are like, of course, someone's like, of course you would say that, you know, on the Sunday that I'm like, have this major job decision that I'm either going to move or stay.
Yeah.
And so it really resonated. And I've seen that with other times we've had the kids come up and the adults pray for the kids. We've had marriages come up. We've had all these different responses that it's like, this is not our calendar that we're going to do this every week. But in the moment, God knows the
right.
needs of the church more than we do. And so if you lean into the fact that Holy Spirit knows and you invite him into what you're doing instead of, yep, we got it all figured out and the pastor's going to preach and then say, have a great week.
Right.
There's something special to allowing the Holy Spirit to move through prayer. I'm reading a book now called Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire from Jim Cimbala, and I think it was written in the 90s. And I asked one of our pastors if he read it. He's like, that's my favorite book. I read it like once a year. And
wow,
I'm only like 30 pages in and I'm like hooked to it because it's about his journey through the Brooklyn Tabernacle in New York, taking over a church that he didn't go to seminary. He took over a church that had like 20 people. One of the ushers was stealing money from the plate. And it was this like back and forth. He had to run two churches actually that were both like struggling, failing, needing
wow.
upgrades. And he was like on burnout. And for him to go from that to thousands of people, he talks about his journey and it was built on prayer. They started having prayer meetings and he's like, if you come to this church, you're going to go to the prayer meeting because that's what's important. And he even said in there, you know, Sunday you get to see how important a speaker is. At the yep. prayer meeting, you get to see how important Jesus is.
Ooh.
And I really like that because we know if you've been in ministry, the prayer meetings that you have is usually 5 to 10 to 20 people of the same people, right?
Yeah.
And you might have 200 that go to your church, but the prayer meeting is where you start to say, okay, this is the foundation of prayer that we're laying on our church, and mm-hmm. God's going to meet us when we start to come before him in prayer. And that's how they grew. That's their story. And I'm going to continue reading the book because it's just powerful.
Yeah, I love that. And you had an encounter night.
Encounter night. Yeah,
your...
we do that on the first Sunday of the month. Yeah.
Yeah. And I saw the video from it and people just like on their knees,
on their faces,
yep. just praying and submitting. And, mm-hmm. you know, that's the church.
Yeah.
Like that's the church. And we need more moments like that, you know, and it shouldn't take some special song or special message to get us to that place. Although I recognize that sometimes it does, but yeah, we need more moments like that. You posted something about it, or your church did, excuse me. And it really caught my eye because I was like, yep, there it is. Like, you know, when you've seen something that's going to change what the future looks like. And,
exactly. And
I witnessed that and I was like, yep, that's going to break down some barriers for people right there. Mm-hmm. So really, really love that. Really love how intentional you guys are getting at that. One of the things that we're trying to get more intentional in is all of those things when it comes to prayer post-service, then during the week, having prayer that's dedicated time during the week. And then not like events, just hanging out, just community, just doing life together. One of the things that we're not struggling with, but we're just trying to figure out is we have people from so many different areas. Like we have people, you know, this may not mean anything, but we have people coming from like 25 minutes north, 30 minutes south, 40 minutes west, 20 minutes east, and they're all coming here. And it's like some of them have kids. So if we did do something, we're going to need childcare. But then if we do it too early because of children needing to go to bed, then they can't get here from work. So we're trying to like figure out a lot of different ways. That's one of the reasons that we've started focusing so much on things like this, like not just podcasts, but like digital connection during the week, because otherwise I don't know how we're going to connect with people, but we're going to have to figure it out. And so that's part of what we're doing. We're just running forward. We're going to figure it out. And it might look like a time of prayer and a time of connection is done like this. Get on StreamYard, get on Zoom, and figure out a way to connect with everybody so that we can ultimately pray for one another and pray for our church and lead the right way. So I love that you guys have set that example. It certainly inspired us and what we're doing, and hopefully we'll continue that and inspire somebody else as well. But certainly the church is built on prayer, and that's how you really shift the atmosphere. That's how you really shift what's ahead. So a church that is a praying church, a pastor that is a praying pastor, a group of people that are a praying people, that's a dangerous group of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that term shifting atmosphere, people have a problem with. And I had a friend that posted, he's like, I've been called a heretic for using this term. But there is something to that when you talk about worship and prayer. And we talked about how to prepare for Sunday, right? 10 ways to prepare for Sunday. That was a previous episode.
Yep.
There is something different. And it's not that anything changes externally. It's something that you're finally being aware that God is there. You're finally being aware that the Holy Spirit's been there the whole time. You're not giving him, you're not allowing him to do anything, but you are allowing him to enter into your sphere when normally we just build up these walls. And it's really just about breaking down the individual walls and letting God be God and allowing him to minister to you. And some people don't like that, you know, that doesn't decrease God's sovereignty. It's the interplay between our free will and God's sovereignty. And, you know, God can rattle you. He can throw you to the ground and make you, but he's usually a gentleman as far as that goes. And it allows you to overcome your mess in order to see his message to you.
Yeah. So a lesson to our listeners, if you haven't today, pray. Yeah. Like just stop and pray. If you're in the car, pray. Don't close your eyes. But if you're in the car, if you're at your home, pause, pray. If you're at your work, pause, pray. Like this is a great opportunity. There's no certain way that you have to pray. There's no certain language you have to use. There's no certain points that you have to make. God knows what you're struggling with. God knows what you need, not want. God knows what you need, and we'll put that in front of you. And I think it's just so powerful. And you know, pray for yourself, sure. Pray for repentance. Pray for forgiveness. Pray for mercy. Pray for others. If you're at a church, pray for your church. Pray for your leaders. Pray for yourself. Yeah. And let us know
what God's showing you. We would love to hear.
Yeah, it's how great things happen.
Yeah, email us, eyesonjesuspodcast@outlook.com. If you see any of our clips on social media, just comment on them. We'd love to hear from you guys. And also don't forget that we do have a video version of this.
If
you like to watch YouTube, might as well check us out on there. And we appreciate all the likes and shares and you guys just being there for us. And that's why we keep doing what we're doing. We hope that it helps you every week and it helps helps you keep your eyes on Jesus. And so until next time, go with God, grow in discernment, and keep your eyes on Jesus.
Thanks for joining us on the Eyes on Jesus podcast with Drew and Tim. Don't forget to hit subscribe. If this episode blessed you, please share it with a friend. Check out the show notes for more ways to connect with the hosts of the show.